We have our strategy in place. A behavior has occurred, one that is reprehensible or wonderful, or floating ambiguously in between. What occurred in the prior second that triggered the behavior? This is the province of the nervous system. What occurred in the prior seconds to minutes that triggered the nervous system to produce that behavior? This is the world of sensory stimuli, much of it sensed unconsciously. What occurred in the prior hours to days to change the sensitivity of the nervous system to such stimuli? Acute actions of hormones, and so on, all the way back to the evolutionary pressures played out over the prior millions of years that started the ball rolling. So we're set. Except that when approaching this big sprawling mess of a subject, it is kind of incumbent upon you to first define your terms, which is an unwelcome prospect. Here are some words of central importance to this book: aggression, violence, compassion, empathy, sympathy, competition, cooperation, altruism, envy, schadenfreude, spite, forgiveness, reconciliation, revenge, reciprocity, and, why not, love. Flinging us into definitional quagmires. Why the difficulty? As emphasized in the introduction, one reason is that so many of these terms are the subject of ideological battles over the appropriation and distortions of their meanings. Words pack power, and these definitions are laden with values, often wildly idiosyncratic ones. Here's an example, namely the ways I think about the word competition. A. Competition. Your lab team races the Cambridge group to a discovery. Exhilarating, but embarrassing to admit to. B. Competition. Playing pickup soccer. Fine, as long as the best player shifts sides if the score becomes lopsided. C. Competition. Your child's teacher announces a prize for the best outlining your fingers Thanksgiving turkey drawing. Silly and perhaps a red flag. If it keeps happening, maybe complain to the principal. D. Competition. Whose deity is more worth killing for? Try to avoid. But the biggest reason for the definitional challenge was emphasized in the introduction. These terms mean different things to scientists living inside different disciplines. Is aggression about thought, emotion, or something done with muscles? Is altruism something that can be studied mathematically in various species, including bacteria? Or are we discussing moral development in kids? And implicit in these different perspectives, disciplines have differing tendencies toward lumping and splitting. These scientists believe that behavior X consists of two different subtypes, whereas those scientists think it comes in 17 flavors. Let's examine this with respect to different types of aggression. Animal behaviorists dichotomize between offensive and defensive aggression, distinguishing between, say, the intruder and the resident of a territory. The biology underlying these two versions differs. Such scientists also distinguish between conspecific aggression, between members of the same species, and fighting off a predator. Meanwhile, criminologists distinguish between impulsive and premeditated aggression. Anthropologists care about differing levels of organization underlying aggression, distinguishing among warfare, clan vendettas, and homicide. Moreover, various disciplines distinguish between aggression that occurs reactively, in response to provocation, and spontaneous aggression, as well as between hot-blooded, emotional aggression, and cold-blooded, instrumental aggression, e.g., I want your spot to build my nest, so scram or I'll peck your eyes out. This isn't personal, though. Then there's another version of this isn't personal, targeting someone just because they're weak and you're frustrated, stressed, or pained and need to display some aggression. Such third-party aggression is ubiquitous. Shock a rat and it's likely to bite the smaller guy nearby. A beta-ranking male baboon loses a fight to the alpha and he chases the omega male. When unemployment rises, so do rates of domestic violence. Depressingly, as will be discussed in Chapter 4, displacement aggression can decrease the perpetrator's stress hormone levels. Giving ulcers can help you avoid getting them. And of course, there is the ghastly world of aggression that is neither reactive nor instrumental, but is done for pleasure. Then there are specialized subtypes of aggression. Maternal aggression, which often has a distinctive endocrinology. There's the difference between aggression and ritualistic threats of aggression. For example, many primates have lower rates of actual aggression than of ritualized threats, such as displaying their canines. Similarly, aggression in Siamese fighting fish is mostly ritualistic.